Something on my heart. I'm grateful for that song that we sang a while ago, that special song. He's given life to me. And takes me back in my mind to that time when the Lord met me while I was on my knees, just in desperation, crying out for help. And He came there and He gave life. He gave beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for that sadness, mourning of the heart. I'm grateful, so grateful for that. And that's been a number of years ago now. I don't remember. It's over 45, I believe it's over 45 years ago now. My time has really went by. But I still have that same joy, that same memory, that same richness of the time when the Lord came and gave me life. You know, yesterday I went to a sorghum festival. Most of you don't know anything about that, do you? Heard that Wewoka had anytime when you talk about sorghum to me, that takes me back to when I was a boy, young teenager. And we made sorghum. We had an old copper pan out underneath the tree, and we had a fire up underneath it, and we took cane that we had grown and rolled it and squeezed the juice out of it through this mill. That metal rollers came together and squeezed it out. And I saw a man there yesterday that he had lost two fingers because it went through a sorghum mill when he was young, 17 years old. Anyway, it took me back to remembering feeding that cane mill and catching the juice and putting it on the pan and putting a fire under it and changing that from this green juice to a golden syrup. And I thought of the process. And it started me thinking about this verse over in Malachi, the third chapter. And the third verse. Speaking about, this is a prophecy. And I'll just start with the first verse. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come and come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and as silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Well, what does that have to do with sorghum making? Well, not a whole lot, except that I didn't realize I had my phone or something other than silent. Forgive me. Other than we put, when you start cooking this syrup or this green juice, you put the heat to it and it starts boiling. And when that boiling process, there's impurities come out of that. We call it skimmings. We take off some green chlorophylls and other things that come up to the surface, and you purify that juice and you concentrate it. You bring it down to something, at least it was pleasant to me to eat. And some of you may not have liked it, but I liked it. And I got to thinking about the process of purifying and what I would have liked to perhaps put on the board. I don't think I will now. Let me write it on the chalkboard of your mind, perhaps. Purifying the sons of Levi. I believe when we we look at the terminology here and the prophecy. This is talking about the forerunner that was mentioned in the first part of the reading here. Behold, I send my messenger before, he shall prepare the way before me. That's speaking, I believe, in my mind. That's talking about, that's painting a picture of the beginning of the New Testament, of what God Himself was going to set up of salvation to mankind. The forerunner would have been John the Baptist. And he came. So this is a picture now and a prophecy of what we see unfolding in the first part of the Gospels and what the Lord has done. He'll lay in Zion, who seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who shall abide the day of his coming? Cause me to consider what the Lord came here for. He didn't come just to forgive. He did come to forgive. He came to save. And part of that salvation does include forgiving from what we've done. It includes that I bring this past and I give it to the Lord and say, I'm tired. I remember when I came to the Lord, I was sick of what I'd become. And I brought all that and all the ashes and all the failures, all the repeated cycle of failure in my life. I brought that all in a basket to the Lord and said, there's nothing left in here for you. And He said, if you'll just give it to me, I'll give you beauty for ashes. And the Lord Himself in His mercy took what I had to give Him. And He began to breathe life into the ashes and gave something different back to me. He sets as a refiner now, as a purifier. That this brings to my mind some of the ideas of the fire, the purifying process. Have you ever seen gold ore? The first gold ore I saw, I didn't recognize it as gold at all. It had the vein. The miner said, this is a vein. Went down to the Molly Kathleen over in Colorado Springs. They went down in this bucket, 1,000 feet or something down in the ground. And the miner said, that right there is a vein of gold. And it was a black streak across the rock. Didn't look like gold at all. But it took heat to get it out of it. It took a crushing. It took vigorous purifying. It took something to make that and turn it from that black streak into a beautiful gold ingot. I don't know what you see yourself as today, but most of the time in our humanity, our carnality, folks, it's got a lot of black streak running through it. It's not very beautiful. It's not very appealing at all. But the Lord, when we bring Him our ashes, when we bring Him ourselves, we can give that to Him and let Him have it. Don't take your hands off it and let Him have us. Lord, I'm tired of it. I don't want to be this old person anymore. I'm tired of what I've been in the past. And we can bring that to the Lord and He'll take it and He may crush it. And He'll put the heat to it. Say, hey, Brother Ivan, I'm not certain I want to sign up for all that. I don't want to have that type of things. I want to tell you what the Lord brings out. Don't focus on the pain or the suffering. That's not but the Lord will work with you and I. The Lord will bring us to a place of purifying. He'll put the heat. And let's think about that for just a little bit here as we consider what the Lord, and He does it in a loving way. He comes and He takes you and I, and He's a purifier. I'm reading on my phone because it's easier for me to read on my phone what does in my Bible right now. And He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and He shall purify the sons of Levi. The sons of Levi, I think, here is more than just the Levitical priesthood back then. I think it includes those, but I think especially in this context where it's talking about the New Testament era, who are the sons of Levi today? It's you and I. Aren't we kings and priests? Aren't we? Haven't we been set apart, a peculiar people, as a priesthood, a royal priesthood? Isn't that who we are now? I want to ask you today, even once you have given yourself to the Lord, do you think that's the state that you should always stay in? It's wonderful to bring yourself and give yourself to the Lord, but the Lord is not done. He's just begun in your life. He's just started. You ever seen Michelangelo's, some of his sculptures? There's a big one, a real famous one called David. You remember that one? You know how that started? It didn't start out with this beautiful shape. It started out with a block of granite. Hard. And you know what had to happen? Somebody with a plan, somebody with a dream, somebody with a purpose for this hard rock. So, and he started chipping away the stuff that wasn't supposed to be there. Now when we relate this to the refining of gold, I want to tell you the Lord will take you and He'll start removing the impurities. He'll start refining. He'll start taking away that's not beneficial in your life. The Lord in His mercy and in His love begins working with you and I right where we are today. When a child is first born, he doesn't know everything. But we start teaching them, don't we? We start training them. We see sometimes the things in a child's life when they begin to grow. When we, you ever seen a child go, "Eh," woke you up, didn't I? You ever seen that little tantrum? So, what do you think when you're a child, when you're a parent, and you see something like that happen in that child's? What do you say? You think, "Oh, isn't that cute?" That's not what we think. You know why we don't think that? The reason why? Because we know if that continues to develop, I'm going to have a long 18 years. And they are too. And the rest of the world is going to have a long time after that. So what do? Because we love, we, as kind as what we know how, we try to shape that child and say, "Child, even as a little baby," we start trying to give them these little, no, don't do that. And as they grow up and we begin to understand more, we work more personally with that. Because, and why do we do it? It's because we care for them. We don't want to have the long 18 years ourselves, but we also don't want them to develop those things. And so the Lord in His mercy, with you and I, we start out as an immature babe in Christ. I don't know everything. I don't know how to handle the things in my life. I don't even understand sometimes the Scripture when I read it. And that's okay if you don't. But hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord will give you a filling. The Lord will feed your soul. And as we seek His ways, and as He works with us, He'll bring us sometimes to places sometimes that are difficult. And we learn through those things something that's good for us in our soul. This is a verse that I can't tell you I fully understand, except it's written this way. Talking about our Lord Jesus, it said when He learned obedience. I just never felt like Jesus needed to learn obedience, but it's written like this, that He learned obedience through things that He suffered. Now, if He learned obedience through things that He suffered, what do you think? How are we going to learn? We're going to learn through things that we're confronted with. We wrestle with those things in that moment. And this is the Lord in His mercy setting, refining you and I and shaping us to the place that we can truly enjoy life. I've never seen a spoiled child allowed to be spoiled and grown up to the place that it's all about them. I've never seen them have a happy life. Not one of them. They've always had hard places. And a lot of times they fill our jails. I've never seen person who claims to be a Christian that always let themselves do whatever they wanted to do. I've never seen them have peace in their soul. I've never seen them truly have the joy of the Lord in their heart. We can come together and claim that I'm saved and living for the Lord and let ourselves do whatever we want to do and not giving the Lord authority in my life. And I can come together as a young person and I can find a young lady and I say that I love you and I want to join our lives together. I want to tell you, if you don't bring yourself into subjection, if you don't allow the Lord to bring you into subjection into Him, you got heartache ahead of you. Families will break up. Children will feel discontented and unsafe. Well, so now, because God loves us, He sets as a refiner and a purifier of what? Gold. You and I are valuable to the Lord. But we need refining. The Lord cares enough about you and I to bring us in into His presence and begin to teach and shape and mold. And sometimes it takes fire to separate us from the old ore rock that we're bound into. And in His mercy, He'll do that. I was watching yesterday as they built that fire under that pan. And it began to boil and bubble, and as things began to... I remember that from my childhood too, that here would come up this green scum. And nobody wants to eat green scum. And so you dig it off. Nobody wants your carnal attitude either. So you know what the Lord does? Sometimes it's hard, but He confronts us with who we are. Oh, here I am. I'm claiming to be a Christian, and this all rose up within me, and I had to admit that I didn't act right. See, the fire is now coming in. The day will declare what you are. The fire, things will happen in our life that will hold a mirror perhaps in front of us and say, that's who you are. But the Lord doesn't leave us hopeless at that moment. He gives us, calls us to His side. And He says, yes, child, that is who you are. And you can turn from that. And I have grace and I have mercy. I have help for you. Come and rest within my bosom. Let me hold you for a while. Let me teach you of my ways. So this is what the Lord does. He'll come and He takes you and I in our raw state. And He's willing to bring us to a place of growth, of maturity, of learning how to walk with the Lord. I shared with some of the younger couples this morning. Some of my prayers have been throughout life. For my children, I've said, Lord, help my children to come to the place that they have their testimonies. That they can come up on Wednesday night prayer meeting and say, this is what the Lord has showed me. Or I was really wrestling with this affliction or this immediate need. I was confronted with that. And I really had to do some praying. And the Lord came and He answered me. And I said, Lord, help this younger generation have their testimonies. And I pray that for this congregation. I was a little vulnerable in there with them and said, I pray this for you. And I have to tell it to everyone here. I pray this for you here. That we'll have our testimonies. But when I pray that, it's kind of like saying, Lord, I need patience. And I need it in a hurry. Because what's going to happen, if you're going to pray for patience, you're going to have some things you'll be confronted with. If you have some testimonies that you're going to see the hand of the Lord really at work in your life, you're going to probably be confronted with some places. The Lord's going to see how you're going to go through. Do you love me? Remember what He said to Peter? Lovest thou me more than these? I don't know what all he was pointing to over here, more than these. Perhaps the fishes, I don't know. But do you love me more than the other things of life that call to you? Do you love me enough to still leave your nets over there, Peter? I want to encourage us today, when we come to the hard places in life, ask yourself, where's your love? Do I love Him more than the things that I'm confronted with in life? Am I willing at that moment to submit myself and bring myself into the place of honoring and loving and following my Lord and allowing Him to beautify this old incomplete statue? Someday, you know, there's a song, He's Still Working on Me. Someday, I believe that He'll paint more of His beauty upon our lives as we go on to follow Him. So I pray for us that we all get our victories and our testimonies. I would like to turn over now to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. This also has some of this thought in it. 2 Corinthians, this whole third chapter of 2 Corinthians has to do with Paul telling his Jewish brethren, those who making the point anyway, that there was a time that the Lord was in the old law system, but it's now fulfilled. I'm saying this in my words. You can read the whole chapter. And he makes a pretty strong line of demarcation between what the Jews used to be required and what comes in through Jesus Christ. But I want to hurry on down toward the end of the chapter. In the 17th verse, 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Do you remember when the woman at the well, she had didn't have, she had some water, but she didn't have the living water. And Jesus had asked her for a drink, and she said, if you knew, he told the woman, if you knew the water that I had to give you, you would ask me for a drink, and I'd give you living water. And she said, how would you get that living water? The well is deep. I think it's about 130 or 140 feet deep. It's way down there. And through bedrock. You ever study Jacob's well, it's quite a story. Anyway, and he was talking to her about living water, and she, it sounded intriguing to her. And then she said, I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. Why are you even talking with me? She said, you say over here in Jerusalem, in that mountain, that's where you're supposed to worship, and we have one over here in Samaria. Here in this mountain, we worship, and you worship. Which one's right? Jesus pointed past both mountains, and he said, the hour is coming, and now is, that He, the Lord, seeking those who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what the Lord is looking for now. It's not the mountains or these special places, but it's a place in the heart of mankind where the Lord Himself wants to set up this communion with our own soul, that we might know Him and the power of His resurrection. So, over here, Brother Paul is talking in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, before, when the law of Moses was given, there was a veil. It was a glorious thing. It had a lot that they were confronted with, a lot that it told them. That letter of the law, it did something to them and required response and responsibility to it. And it was so glorious that they couldn't behold the face of Moses when he came down from the mountain. And there was a veil that was put over his face, and it was red. But now, here in the New Testament, In Christ, that veil is taken away. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, what happens? Now, this is something I want us all to embrace. We're changed. I want us to embrace that God wants change to come in all of our lives. We're not stagnant. God doesn't want us to be in one place all the rest of our lives. I got saved, and now here I've arrived, and I just sit back, and I don't really have a passion for the Lord anymore. I want to tell you, if somewhere your passion for the Lord has waned, I want to encourage you this morning that there would be a revival come in your soul. There'd be a renewed passion for the Lord. That you're willing, Lord, I want to serve you more than anything. Maybe sometimes it's good to be honest and say, Lord, I have allowed some of the things of the world, some of the things that I'm feeling stirring around me, and has taken my attention away from a real passion for you. And I feel that is kind of cooled in my soul. Lord, revive me in my spirit today. I want to change. I want to change from where I am now to a little closer to you. I want to understand you better. I want the goal to be refined. I want to change in such a way that your glory may be reflected in my own spirit, my soul. Beholding the glory of the Lord as in a glass, beholding with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image that we see reflected in Him. I want to be more like Him, and I hope this morning that every one of us wants to be more like Him. If that's not a goal this morning, I encourage us to make it our goal. We want to be more like Him. I want to be more like my Father. I'm afraid if people won't see the Father in me, they may not think that He's my Father. And they have good reason not to if they can't see the Lord. We should look more like Him. We should act more like Him. We should seek and entreat Him to clothe us with His righteous ways and to be more like Him. This is a time, addressing time, this as we live here on this earth, this body that the Lord has given us, the Lord would have us to be clothed with His righteousness. That this dressing room, this time of life that we have, that we would seek Him till we might be clothed, not with us. It's so easy to let the world see my sharp tongue or my uncaring ways or my selfish ways. It's so easy to do that. That seems so normal. But that's the part that Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's the part that he's saying, turn loose of. Let the fire, let the knowledge that the understanding of the Lord brings to our heart, when we recognize this is not good. And we don't have to be I don't have to define it for you, because I believe the Lord has given you the understanding enough to realize if there's something not good, it's just not good. It doesn't have to be evil for us to recognize it's not good. Turn from the evil. Turn from the good, from the wrong, and turn to the good. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory unto more glory, from glory to glory. And this can be understood in more than one way. I believe that part of the context could also be talking about the old law, the Old Testament. It had a glory to it. And we turn from that glory to the greater glory that we have in Christ. But on a very personal level, the Lord gives us of His glory, of the life, of the new life in Christ Jesus that we encounter, and we are thrilled in our soul for what the Lord has done in me. But He's not through doing in me. He's not complete with the work. And He continues to shape and mold until you and I look more and more and more and more like Him. Because He loves us. He wants us to have the DNA that comes down from heaven. I say it that way because I believe what I'm really trying to say is that He wants our spirit to look like the spirit of our Lord. Something I didn't get to in the previous reading over there in Malachi, and I did want to point this out. He's purged the sons of Levi, purged them as gold and silver that they may offer unto the Lord. This is the reason why. That we may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That's what the Lord's doing for you and I. That there might be righteousness in our life. So thankful for that. Sometimes we think, well, we see ourselves and think, well, there's no... I look like that really dark vein in that rock. I know there's gold there, but I don't know how to get to it. But the Lord does His work that we might offer something of value back to Him. In righteousness that we might offer unto the Lord this. All right, again back over into... into 2 Corinthians. We with open face, beholding as in the glass, a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord Himself coming by and infusing Himself into our hearts and directing us and guiding us and shaping our future as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if we can turn over into Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And the first verse. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Oh, that's been used in different ways. Suffice it to say this morning that the Lord wants to perfect those things that concern you and I. You know, the Lord wants us to give Him our all. It's only right for Him who has given the precious blood of His Son that He has purchased us unto Himself. It's only right for Him to say, let me have your all. I want to do you good in every way. I want to shape your future. And our young folks that are here today, and children, I just want to tell you, I know you're going through odysseys of life and changes. I know you're being confronted with decisions and you're wondering what's tomorrow going to hold. I just encourage you. And I know you're going to have confusing times. I understand that. I've been there. Don't mean I don't have still some confusing times that come to. But I know where you are. I know some of the things that you confront. Please put God in the midst of your life. Please let the Lord guide you around some of the pitfalls. I've sometimes tried to give some counsel to some young folks and the idea sometimes has been, well, you're telling me to do something you didn't do. Isn't that hypocritical? Sometimes I learn something. It's not hypocritical if I say, please don't do what I did. Sometimes it's saying, I don't want you to hurt the way I hurt. That's what it's really saying. I don't do it. Don't go down that road. Allow the Lord to purify, allow the Lord to protect, allow the Lord to keep you from some of the pitfalls that the devil has ahead of us. And that goes for every one of us in our decisions of life. Therefore, leaving the principles, these things that we've started off, we've done good, we've begun to walk with all of our heart with the Lord, continue that way. Leaving now the principles of the doctrines of Jesus, the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. Now it goes on and points out some things. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. We don't have to again try to go back and try to relearn. You know, from the old law system, that was an obedience, that was a law that they obeyed and did this and did this and did this, and they gave this sacrifice, and because they obeyed the Lord, there was a certain amount of acceptance that they did receive through the old law system. But in Christ, there was a repentance that was, remember what John began, it came teaching, repentance, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. It's at hand. There was a repentance that came unto salvation. And that was being taught. So we don't need to relearn that. We've already know what that means. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. And of faith toward God. We know that. We need to have faith and belief in the Lord. We need to place our hope and our trust and our future in the Lord. Of doctrines of baptism. We believe baptism. It's not that he's saying that we shouldn't have these doctrines. Of the doctrines of baptism. Of laying on of hands. And of resurrection of the dead. We believe we're going to rise, don't we? We had a funeral here a couple of days ago. Of a man who had given his heart to the Lord right down for the end of his life. And it still thrills me to think of the moment when I was praying with him and I heard his prayer and his seeking of the Lord pouring out and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive. I need to be forgiven of this. And he poured out his heart, and I remember looking up after we got through praying and I saw a smile across his face and a peace that he had. I just tell you that there's nothing sweeter than to watch that happen and know that a soul has made it home. And that man now, I believe that there's going to be a resurrection, not only for him, but for all of us. We have a spiritual resurrection here from death to life. We have that. But also, one of the things they have taught throughout history, that we will rise again. I don't know what body's going to look like. I don't know. I'm not going to. That's beyond my comprehension, know what all that's going to be like. But I know we're going to rise and we're going to meet the Lord. That's another very serious thing that we consider, that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So he said, we move beyond these doctrines, the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. But he said, let us go on in this process of living our lives. Don't get comfortable where you are. Part of my message here this morning is that we embrace the change that the Lord wants to bring in all of our lives. I told you earlier that I've lived for the Lord for a number of years now, and I remember when I was young and I heard some of the older ministers say, I've lived for the Lord for 50 years. That's a long time. I want to tell you, it's really not that long. But I can tell you that he's not done working on this 45-year-old. Not done. He's still working. Every once in a while, he holds up the mirror to me. And I begin to see his glory. And I say, I'm not quite there yet. So his loving mercy, he puts me through the fire for my own good, for my soul's good. Titus, the second chapter. And I won't read all of it. I'm going to start with the 11th verse. For the grace of God that appears, that brings salvation. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. This is something I want to proclaim to all of us today, that the Lord is a gracious God. The Lord is He holds His hand out with a helping hand. He doesn't reach out to slap or push away. He reaches out His hand with graciousness, with grace, with help, with authority and power in it. He knows how to lift you and I up from the places that we find ourselves at times. teaching us that this salvation, it brings salvation, hath appeared unto all men. It doesn't say, it didn't give any qualifications there, to all men. I believe every man that lives across the face of this earth has the same opportunity. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And when it shows up, it's there teaching us. They're turning away. They're denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly. That we should live carefully. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly. Finally, when we make it to heaven, we're supposed to do that. Is that what it said? We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I don't know about you, but I think I do, actually. I do know about me. I need the Lord's help to do this verse. The grace of God appeals to me. It teaches me. It comes to me and says, deny ungodliness. Can you do that? Who here says, no, I've just got to give myself over to ungodliness? Or can you say no? By the grace of God, you can say no this morning. By the grace of God, every one of us can say no. Nobody has to say, oh, I guess I've got to go back to my old slave master and I've just got to continue doing what he told me to do. No, the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us the turning from that. Repent, turn from that. Repenting is turning away. Turn from that and pursue the Lord, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live, we should do something about our lives, we should absorb, we should get myself absorbed in the things of the Lord. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Again, I don't see a qualifier in that term, all iniquity. It's not saying that, well, these are the easy ones, so I'll take care of that. And the hard ones, it's just a little too much. That's not what He said. Now, when the Lord saved me, I was real happy to get rid of some of that oppression that the ways of sin come. And some of it went like that. Some of it, I didn't have temptation at all. It was gone, and I was amazed at that. And some things I had to wrestle against. Never give over. Never quit wrestling. Never quit. When there's something there tempting you, don't say, well, the Lord made me like this, and I'm just going to, I guess I'll just give over to it. That's not it. Every time that we give the devil space in our life, it'll hurt us. It'll hurt us. So the Lord calls us to a place where we walk away. Oh, we don't come close to the tree. Perhaps I even said this, I don't know if I said it last Sunday or not, but it still rings in my mind the time back here in the Sunday school class with Brother Vernon Miles. I think Brother Doug was saying something, had the picture in there about what he was talking about was the Garden of Eden. And there was one tree that they weren't supposed to eat of. And Eve was over there looking, I was attracted to it. And Brother Vernon said, why didn't they just cut that tree down? That's a good thing to do. And when you know a weakness in your heart and in your life, don't get close to it. Cut it off. Just cut it down. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That doesn't mean an odd people. That means a set apart people, a special people unto himself, zealous of good works. Lord, help us this morning. I want to be one of those who seeks the Lord with all my heart, who allows the Lord to change me. He's not done changing any one of us. But the Lord might set us apart from the things and the influences of the world, that we might, by our lives, that the world might see something other than a dark streak, something that is corrupted by all the other impurities. But the Lord wants to take our lump that we give Him today and begin to knock off the rough edges, to shape it up till His glory shines forth, till the gold has a luster. And we recognize that it takes more than the gold can't do it for itself. It took the heat to do it. Somebody else supplied the heat. And that was the Lord. The Lord wants to take our lives, that His glory might shine out to the world. If you and I get no victories in our life, it'll be a tragedy to us. But it's more than that. It'll be a tragedy also to those that we live around. If I went down here, oh, there's some streets and places down here in Edmond and Oklahoma City, there's some places where you can find people that they're probably living this morning out in tents or up underneath the bridge somewhere. I find them out there in the wintertime. And if I go down there and I tell them, the Lord can change your life. And if the Lord hadn't changed my life, what are they going to say? Show them Christ. But not only show them Christ, show our family Christ. We live with our families. Had a fellow one time where I was working in the house for a while. He was a little rough. He'd come in and language wasn't very good. A lot of things were going on. And it didn't take but about, oh, what was it? It was probably an hour and a half after I got in there. He moderated some of the things he was doing, and pretty soon he came to me and he said, are you a preacher? Hadn't said a word. Hadn't I just been kind? And talked normally. A little different than what he was talking. I said, I am, but what made you think that? He said, I don't know, something was different about you. And I don't say that to glorify me, but I'm just saying this is what the Lord wants to do in all of our lives, that it will say something to the world. That'll say something other than you and me. It's easy for us to give somebody a piece of my mind, and they're not going to see Christ when they see that. But our family, when we live among them, we want them to be those who can testify the loudest. Yeah. Yeah, he's daddy. He's he has his different ways. My children can easily say that about me. But I want them to be able to say more than anything, he loves the Lord. Lord, help us each one.